Good Monday morning, Pastor Tony. It is Monday Minutes, and this is our teaching podcast. We come to you and share about 30 minutes every Monday of just some teaching and helping us all grow in our faith. This is part of our discipleship effort. This is not a recording of our services. Thank you for joining. I have so many people lately that have been telling me how much they appreciate these Monday Minute podcast teachings. To you, I say thank you. Thank you for sharing the encouragement that you're getting something out of this. You know, Monday morning is typically the day of the week everyone is dragging. It's the day of the week people get up, go back to work. You know, in the fall and in the winter, kids get up and go back to school. But hey, you know what? I've always been known to say, let's flip Monday up on its back and say, you know what? I'm going to get up and rejoice today. So, what is my Monday morning scripture? Philippians 4:4, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Amen. So we need to have that kind of mentality that this is a day that I'm going to choose to rejoice. So whatever you're facing today, wherever you are, whatever you're going through, I want you to know something right now. God loves you. God sees what you're facing. He knows what you're dealing with. You know what? This is the good news about our God. He loves you. He knows you. He sees you. He cares about you. And I don't know who I'm talking to today, but I feel like I need to tell someone. You might have woke up today with problems. Maybe you've had an argument this morning with your spouse. Maybe your kids have been giving you a hard time. Maybe there is a medical diagnosis in your family you're struggling with, or financial problems today, or problems on the job. I don't know, but I just feel like someone logged on to this podcast today and you're struggling with something on this Monday. And I want to say to you, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Do you know that sometimes victory comes through praise? Do you know that sometimes, even though you don't feel it, if you'll just lift your hands and give God praise and say praise the Lord anyway, that it has a way of just releasing victory in your life. My goodness gracious, I'm not preaching, but I want to tell someone right now, if you'll just lift up your hands and have a positive attitude today and give God thanks today, regardless of what you're facing, I'm telling you, it's going to release a change in your situation. I didn't even plan on saying that today. I didn't even plan on mentioning that today. But someone this day needs to hear me right now. Rejoice, regardless of what you're facing, and you're going to see God do something good in your life. It might not happen immediately, but I'm telling you, the turnaround will come. There is victory through praise. That is not our topic of discussion today. That's free, all right? That's just free for someone today. So have a great Monday. And some of you have really been talking to me and letting me know that you enjoy these, and I appreciate that. If you like these, share them. Share them on your social media feed. Give people the link to it. Tell them to go check it out at the Refuge Podbean podcast. And if you have a hard time trying to tell someone where to find these, tell them to go to our church website, therefugenm.com, and click on Pastor's Podcast. If you share the church website, they can see the link to the podcast page. So if you're being blessed by these conversations on Mondays, or whenever it is you listen to these, share it and let someone else know about it. You never know. It just might be a blessing for them as well. That's what we want to do, right? Share the Word of God. Help build each other up in the faith and just be blessed. I mean, just be blessed. You know, the kingdom of God is not about doom and gloom. The kingdom of God is not about being depressed. And, you know, I like all types of Christian music. But I don't like some songs, and one of the older songs I don't like is that song that talks about I'm coming up the rough side of the mountain, but I'm holding on. You know what? I've had bad days, I've had valleys, I've had trials, I've had times where I fell on my face and messed up so bad I'm too ashamed to tell you what I've done. But I tell you right now, I'm not coming up the rough side of the mountain. I'm blessed and highly favored. My God is the God of heaven. Amen. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I'm a victor either way. I'm more than an overcomer. We need to have that mentality regardless of what we're facing. So take that today and be encouraged. We are starting a new topic today. This is a new topic of discussion. If you follow the podcast faithfully, you know that we recently spent 4 weeks talking about stories of miracles. I shared some very personal, transparent stories of how God has given us financial miracles, and I taught about the principles of tithing and giving and almsgiving. But today, we're starting a new series that I'm calling The Secret to the Blessing. The Secret to the Blessing. Now, you know, I want to just release some biblical principles that I call secrets to the blessing. And I'm not talking about giving in this series, so go ahead and get that out of your head. I'm done with that. I'm not talking about tithing and offering and sowing seed. That's not what I'm talking about. So what am I talking about? What comes to your mind when I talk about the secret to the blessing? What comes to your mind? What images come to your mind? When I say the secret to the blessing, immediately, what are you thinking about? What is the blessing to you? What does it mean to be blessed? If I would hand you a piece of paper today and a pen and say, write down what it means to be blessed, what would you put down? What does being blessed look like to you? I mean, honestly, think about it, because being blessed is going to be different to everyone. Some people may immediately say, well, a new car. Okay, but somebody else might say a happy marriage. Somebody else might say a good relationship with my child, plenty of food to eat, a nice new shirt. I don't know. What is it for you? What does it mean to be blessed? And building on that, what are the secrets to how to be blessed? That's what I want to talk about. And we're going to spend a few weeks talking about this, and I think this is a really important topic. So, you know, we hear all kinds of preachers talking about being blessed. We hear the topic of the blessing all the time, and usually it's wrapped around money. Money, 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 money. Seed, seed, seed. Now, those things have its place. And I taught about that in 4 lessons. Go back and listen to the stories of miracles. I taught about those things, but I'm not talking about money this time. I'm talking about the secret to the blessing. And we're going to be looking at this and talking about different things, and hopefully it's going to stir our faith. Hopefully it's going to build us up. Hopefully it's going to help us learn how to be blessed. And so, you know, in talking about this, for those of you that take notes, bless your heart, some of you tell me you take notes and you really dig into these things, and I really appreciate you. We're going to look at a parable in Matthew chapter 25. If we're going to talk about the secret to the blessing, we're going to look at a parable in Matthew chapter 25. And I'm not going to read it here on the podcast, but in that parable, Matthew 25 verses 14 through 28, Jesus is teaching about the servant and harvest and being able to be obedient to the master in this parable. Well, you know what? I wasn't going to read it, but I think I need to read it. Matthew 25, verses 14 to 28. It says, again, I will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to the other 2 bags, to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received one bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Think about that for a moment. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. Verse 20 of that chapter, the man who had received five bags of gold brought the other five. Verse 21, the master said, well done. Verse 24, skip down. Then the man who had received one bag of gold came and said, Master, I know that you are a hard man, investing where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. Verse 26 of that chapter, his master replies and says, you wicked, lazy servant. Wow, what a rebuke. You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. Wow, what a principle. For whoever has been given more, they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what they will have be taken from them. And now throw that worthless servant out into the darkness where there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, this is a parable. Now, if you study Bible teaching and theology, you know that parables are short, made-up stories to illustrate a point. So Jesus is telling a story here, a parable story, and he's teaching through this story, making a point. And, you know, the point that Jesus is teaching here is this. If you have a talent, use it. Don't hold it back. For when you hold it back, you are not blessing others. So the one man who held his talent back, or his bag of gold back, or talent back, he was not blessed. He actually lost the blessing. But the one who had five and two, the one who they took them and they put it to use, they got double the blessing back. So this is really an excellent story in the scripture that teaches a lot about the secret to the blessing. Now, you know, we live in a consumerism-driven world, don't we? Someone say yes somewhere. We live in a consumerism-driven world. We know, you know, we live in a world where consumerism has wrapped its tentacles around every facet of our culture. Of course, consumerism, you don't need a class on that. Consumerism is that preoccupation with consuming things, getting stuff, acquisition. And that changes our mentality. We live in that type of world. We live in the type of world in the society that says, give me, give me, give me, get, gain, gain, gain. Now, we're taught that from the time we're young, to grow and to get and to gain. And that mentality has corrupted most of our thinking. And if we would admit it, are you willing to be honest today or not? If we would admit it, that's how most of us think. Most of us think, what's in it for me? What can I get out of this? How can I prosper? We are people and culture and society that seek what we can get for free. We watch YouTube videos to see what we can get out of them. We are inundated with ads and commercials and marketing every day, everywhere we look, attempting to give us the best price, the best value, the best competition. Every sign and ad we look at claims to have the ability to beat all other competitors. Everything is a competition for our attention. We rarely can even enjoy a holiday because of it. You know, my 8-year-old son said to me the other day, every company is trying to tell you that they're better than the other company. He's 8 years old, and he's already seeing the competition of acquisition, the consumerism mentality. One author said that did research with Harvard concerning consumerism. He said, our perception of the crisis is so clouded that by the proclivity for self-adulation and self-gratulation, yet there is a crisis nonetheless. He said, like a cancer, consumerism spreads slowly through society. It is quiet, it is insidious, but it erodes our most cherished values. It is a crisis of rampant consumerism. And, you know, that gets into us. I agree with that. Now, you said, now, Pastor, why are you talking about consumerism today. Why are you talking about consumerisms and ads and commercials and desire to gain? Well, the reason why I bring that to our attention is because so often we bring that consumer mentality embedded in within us to the church. We bring that consumer mentality to God. We bring that consumer mentality to our relationship with God, even to our prayer life. Don't shout me down when I'm teaching good. Somebody out there somewhere say amen. That's true. Now, I've pastored long enough to know that. I mean, there are people that will only attend a church if they get something out of it. Ouch, right? As one preacher used to say, amen or oh me. I mean, come on now. There are people that will leave a church if that church don't serve them well. There are people that will leave a church if they don't visit them enough. I mean, it can have the best preaching, the best singing, the best kids' church, the most friendliest ushers and greeters and all of that. Use our van and our gas money to come pick them up. All because we didn't smile enough, they're out the door. All because we didn't visit them or rub their toes enough, they're out the door. All because they didn't get a free Milky Way bar on first Sunday, they're out the door. I mean, that sounds silly, and you can laugh at it, and I can laugh at it. We all can laugh together, but it's true nonetheless. Churches are competing every day to try to make people happy, pleasing people, trying to get people comfortable, to get them to want to come, and by all means, not only want to come, but want to stay. Consumerism, say it with me, consumerism has spread like a cancer, and it even has affected the church world. It's affected how we think about God. Much of our thinking and worship is looking to consume something from God, to get something from God. Most of us come to worship with the mentality to get something. Most of us sing with the mentality to get something. Most of us pray with the mentality to get. Can I say something right now? If the majority of our prayer life is asking for requests, our prayer life is wrong. The majority of our prayer life should not be, give me, give me, give me, give me. I need, I need, I need, I want, I want, I want. Now, it's nothing wrong with telling God what we have need of. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us to do that, but that should be the least part of our prayer time. The majority of our prayer life should be loving on God and just worshiping God and talking to God and just wanting to spend time with God. And oh, by the way, before I'm done, I need this and this and this. I give you my needs. The needs should not be the thrust of the prayer. So often we get it backwards. We really do. We really do. And then we wonder why we're not blessed. I'm talking about the secret to the blessing. So the secret to the blessing is not telling God what we have need of. The secret to the blessing is not holding on. The secret to the blessing is not consumerism. Nope, it sure is not. The secret to the blessing is not seeing what we can get. We need to turn it around. We need to turn it upside down. We have to think differently about this. Are you ready to think differently, yes or no? Who with me today is ready to think differently? For those of you that just said yes, you're with me. Those of you that said no, well, you might want to go ahead and just stop the podcast. Because I'm trying to teach us to think differently. We need to think differently. Someone somewhere say think differently. We have to add a thought to this as we're talking about it. It's good to bring our needs to God. Yes, yes, yes. I know that. 1 Peter 5, 6 and Hebrews 4, 15, Philippians 4, 19. Those are all scriptures about how God wants to bless you and meet your needs. And God wants us to tell him about what we have need of. It's okay. That's good. You're not being sinful or selfish because you're presenting your needs to God. No. Matter of fact, Matthew 6, 8 says that your Father knows what you have need of even before you tell him. That's good. It's fine. It's right to tell God what you have need of. But I want us to change our thinking, because if we're going to understand the secret to the blessing, we have to change the way we think. So there has to be a balance to this. and the balance between a consumer mentality and a biblical mentality. And that lies in the fact that God calls us to actually give out of ourselves and not keep everything for ourselves. Now, I just said something. I said that the Bible teaches us to give and not just get. The Bible teaches us to turn it around and do it backwards. If you want to get, you need to give. The secret to getting is giving. The secret to gain is release. The secret to acquisition is release. So the Bible teaches us that there's a secret to the blessing, and it's not the way the world has taught us to think. We have to change our thinking. The secret to the blessing is to release, not hold on. That's right. We are not just to consume, but we are to give. Actually, the Bible says it's better to what? Someone shout it. Give. It's better to give than it is to receive, Acts 20:35. The Bible says give, shout give. Come on with me. Play along. Shout give. The Bible says to give, and it shall be given back unto you, Luke 6:38. So give, and you shall receive, Galatians 6:7. The reality is that while we can come to church with a consumer mentality, or come to prayer with a consumer mentality, or come to worship with a consumer mentality, actually we are called to come with a giving mentality. Now, I'm not talking about money. I'm not talking about money this time. There's other ways we can give of ourselves that doesn't even affect money. Now, it does, of course, affect our tithing and our offering. Yes, of course. But I'm talking about more than that. I'm going deeper than that. I'm going beyond that. I'm going to a deeper level. We are called to give of ourselves, our talents, our skills, our capabilities, our time. Wow, right? We're called to give back. We're not called just to consume. Church is not a consumer seat. Church is a place we come to give of ourselves. How? Give God worship. Give God praise. Give God prayer. And then give of our talents and our skills and our time and our abilities. Not just give a tithe and we're done. No, give a tithe and give an offering, but also maybe use my talent and be involved on a team. Use my talent and smile, open a door. Use my talent and help clean. Use my talent and help feed people. Use my talent and help clothe people. Use my talent and play an instrument. Use my talent and sing. Use my talent, work with the babies, work with the kids, work with the teenagers. Use my talent, use my talent. Give back of myself. Are you giving back? Are you involved? Or are you taking your talent and burying it? Now, going back to our parable today, if you have talent, skills, abilities, time, all of that, and you're burying it and not giving back, Jesus would rebuke us. Wow. Yes, he would. Amen or oh me. Ouch, someone somewhere. We have to give back of ourselves. If the sum total of the reason why you pray or read the Bible or come to church is to get something, you've missed the point. And I'll turn that back on myself as well. If the sum total of me showing up is to do a job and to get a paycheck, I've missed the point. The sum total of the reason why we show up or do anything in the church or in prayer, it needs to be to give of ourselves, to give back. Now, this is not going to be popular, is it? I'm talking about the secret to the blessing, and the secret to the blessing is to give. The secret to the blessing is to do. The secret to the blessing is to invest. The secret to the blessing is to release. The secret to the blessing is to get involved. The more I give of myself, the more I receive from heaven. The secret to receiving is to give. The secret to receiving is to get involved. The secret to receiving in the kingdom is to give back. It's completely opposite of how the world teaches us, isn't it? You're probably thinking that right now. This is opposite of how the world teaches. Yes, it is. The kingdom of heaven is usually opposite of the world. And so this is a kingdom principle, not a world or culture principle. Culture says hoard. bury, keep, to be blessed. The kingdom says the secret of the blessing is to give, do, give back, get involved, give of yourself, give your time, give your interest, give your skills, give your capabilities, give your talents, give of yourself. So the text in our parable, the story here we have, is to make a point. And Jesus teaches this story to make the point. And he teaches us that if we're going to get a harvest, if we're going to get a blessing, we have to give back. We have to invest back. We have to give back. Now, that's a simple point that Jesus is making from this story. And that's the truth for us today. Every one of us, shout me, I'm talking to you. Every one of us who calls ourselves a child of God has something to give back. We are a giver. We're called to be a giver, not merely a consumer. We're not consumers, we're givers. The secret to the blessing is to be a giver and not a consumer. All we have to do is give back a talent, a gift, a contribution, each to our own ability. Now, that's a powerful point in our parable here, but not everyone has the same ability. Everyone has different abilities. It's okay if you don't have my ability, and it's okay if I don't have your ability. God didn't make us all the same. He didn't give us all the same gifts. He didn't give us all the same interest. He didn't give us all the same capabilities. We all have a different capability, a different gift. We all have something to give. Some people, it's cleaning, service, giving service back, works of service. Others, it's greeting or ushering or kids or youth or music, intercessory prayer, inviting, sending out cards or texts or calls or doing visits to the sick and to the hurting. I mean, come on, all of the things that we can be doing for God, witnessing and sharing our faith on social media, helping hand out flyers in the foyer, work, you know, whatever it might be. Now, not everyone who listens to this goes to my church, the Refuge Church. You might go to a different church. And if you go to a different church, go sign up immediately and find out what you can do. If you go to the Refuge Church, sign up immediately and find out what you can do. If you're already doing, great. But this is the secret to the blessing. The secret to the blessing is to be a giver and not a consumer. There's something, glory to God, there is something in you that you are called by God to give back. Can I help us receive that today? There's something that you can give that nobody else can give. There's something that you can do that no one else can quite do it just like you. It's in you. You are pregnant with a gift. You are pregnant with an ability. There is something in you that you can do to give back. There's something in you that you can do to contribute. There's something that you can do. It's in there. It's in there. It's in there. Someone shout, it's in there. It's in there. It's in there. It's in there. It's in you. There's something that you can do. Look at your hands. There's something your hands can do. Put your hands on your chest and say, there's something in me that needs to come out of me to give back. We are not called to be sponges. We are not called to be consumers. We are not called to be takers. We're called to be givers, sowers, people that pour in and not take out, people that give, people that pour in, people that contribute, people that do, people that help, people that sow. So let me ask you right now, what are you doing? Because the secret to the blessing is to bless and not take. The secret to the blessing is to give. Let me just say it like this. There's something in you that only you can do for your community of faith. Don't bury your talent. Don't bury your ability. Don't bury, give back. Don't bury, give back. Someone shout, don't bury, but give back. So let's wrap this up on part one. Kingdom blessings are released from the kingdom by releasing ourselves and giving back. If we want to be blessed in the kingdom, we must give kingdom blessings. The more we do for the kingdom, the more we are blessed by the kingdom. So the wisdom of the parable teaches us to be a giver and not merely a consumer. Amen. Sorry, I got choked up. The wisdom of the blessing teaches us to be a giver and not a consumer. You may have only one bag, but give what you've got. Amen. You may only have one talent, but man, oh man, oh man, in Jesus' name, give that talent. Give that time. Give that ability. Give that service. Give that action. What is it for you? Now let me ask you, are you burying your talent or are you investing your talent? Are you burying your ability or are you giving your ability? You want to be blessed by God? Here's the secret to the blessing. Give. Give back. Do. Share. Get involved. So, let me ask you, are you involved? Are you giving back? Are you pouring out? Because the secret to the blessing is to give, not take. The secret to the blessing is to give, not hoard. The secret to the blessing is to invest yourself, not bury yourself. Are you burying yourself or are you giving of yourself? You might say, well, I'm doing all that, Pastor. Then you have to keep working it. That's right. You have to keep working it because you can't quit. You can't quit. You can't do it for one season and not another. I hear people say sometimes, well, I've done my part. I'm retired from doing that. That's not the Bible, ma'am. That's not the Bible, sir. There's always something we can be doing for the kingdom of God, pouring ourselves out. So let's wrap this up today. Part one, secret to the blessing. What are you going to do to give of yourself for the kingdom of God? Have a great day.